All right. We'll go ahead and get started. Want to open us up with a word of prayer. Is there anything you want to mention this evening? Okay. All right. Christina Ward. Okay. Yeah, she's out of surgery, and they said there was no cancer in the lymph nodes. Yeah. So things look good. She was in recovery when I talked to Rebecca. Okay. All right. Pray for Gail. 22:18. Okay. Okay. All right. Good deal. Did y'all get that? 22:18. And she's only supposed to be in there one night, I think, and she'll be. Yeah. Yeah, she, just pray for Dale. No, he just, you know, with that shoulder and everything and the dampness, I think, so. What else? Anything else? All right. Well, if not, then let's go to Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for, God, this day you've given us and the grace to live it. And, Father, we thank you for the rain and as you continue to replenish the earth. And, Father, with the different types of weather, there's blessings and then there's difficulties that come along with it for some of our folks, Lord. And so we just want to lift up Gail and Dale, both of them who are struggling physically with the dampness of the weather. And Father, just be with them during this time, Lord. And we ask for healing, Lord. Just Lord, we know you are still in the healing business. We do know that there are ailments that we have to face in this life. It is part of the curse of Adam. And that we all face, even as redeemed, you're redeemed, your people. But still, Lord, we ask God your hand to be upon them and to pour out your mercy on them if it be your will. And Father, we lift up Christina Ward, Judy's granddaughter, and just ask God you'd be with her and in the aftermath of her surgery, and that you would just minister to her in a special way as only you can, Father, by your Spirit. And just provide what she needs, Lord. You know what those needs are. And Father, we praise you tonight for the successful surgery for Shirley. And Lord, we pray that in subsequent days and weeks, Lord, as they check and examine to make sure they got it all, that would still be confirmed, and that she would not have to go through the treatments of radiation and chemo that oftentimes comes with surgeries like this, that you would completely heal her, Father, and bring her back to our fellowship, and that you would just give her many more years, Father, on this earth, and that pray that her recovery would go well, and just be with Rebecca and the family during this time. And Lord, we love you, and again, we thank you for this time as we gather here to study your word. Lord, we ask God for your grace to be able to understand and to accept, Father, your word. Sometimes there are things that are difficult in your word, Lord, and we confess that we struggle with that. And so, Lord, we're trusting you to work in us, Lord, and that we might be truly conformed to your image and live for your glory. And we love you, Father, and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Let's open our Bibles back to Romans. And I think I read this to you maybe last week, maybe week before, but let's one more time. Let's turn over to Romans 5 real quick. And it'll just be a brief moment here. Here Paul's been talking about justification by faith up to this point, and then in verses 12 through 14 he brings up how sin came into the world through one man, Adam, and he gets into a comparison between Adam and Jesus, and what Adam did and what Jesus did. Okay, and so picking up verse 15, it says, "But the gift," talking about what Jesus has given us, "but the gift is not like the trespass. For if the many died by the trespass of the one man," so that's how Adam, and through his one trespass, his sin, brought condemnation, God's judgment, condemnation on the whole race of Adam, which is us. So that's what he's talking about there. So he says, "For if the many died by the trespass of the one man, how much more did God's grace and the gift that came by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, overflow to the many? Again, the Spirit of God is not like the result of the one man's sin. The judgment followed one sin and brought condemnation, but the gift followed many trespasses and brought justification. For if by the trespass of the one man death reigned through that one man, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ." So what you see there is all that Adam did to mess things up, Jesus came back and reversed it, didn't he? He fixed it. That's right. He fixed it. Adam brought in what? Sin and what else? Sin and death. All right? Okay? And Jesus came in and he brought life and Spirit and righteousness. Okay, through Adam we fell under the power of sin and death. What do we get with Jesus? Through Jesus, justification, which brings life and power over sin. Okay. So you see that that's happened. And so what you see in Romans 8 is Paul explaining how that is actuated, how that comes to fruition. Okay? And what he's saying is that when we are justified, that with justification comes God gives us his Spirit, the Spirit of life that overcomes the power of sin over us. Okay? All right. Any questions on that so far? And again, as we talked about last week, sin's an ongoing battle for us. Okay? When Jesus saves us, we're still sinful in many respects. We have that indwelling sin of Romans chapter 7 speaks of. But where before we were powerless against sin, now by the Spirit we have the power to fight sin and overcome sin. All right. Now, last week we looked specifically at verses 5 through 8. And what were we talking about there in verses 5 through 8? I mentioned there were two kinds of people, right? Remember that? Lost and saved, okay? And what does a lost person do? Yeah, and specifically using some of the terminology there in verses 5 through 8. Yeah, live according to the flesh. All right? And says there that they live according to the sinful nature, the flesh. They have their mind set on what that nature desires. And verse 6 says, the mind of sinful man is death. Verse 7 says, the sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law. nor can it do so. Those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. All right? So how would you describe a lost person based on verses 5 through 8? You sound like you've been hanging out with preschool kids today. Oh, you've been upstairs? Okay. Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. That's right. Yeah. Constant rebellion. Constant. Well, it says he's verse 7, he's hostile. He's hostile to God. All right, what else? Anything else? Okay, they're controlled by it. They don't want to do any better. So their hearts is in bad shape, isn't it? Yeah. Yeah, their minds are focused on the flesh. Yeah, on the sinful things. That's right. Yeah, it can be themselves. Yeah, be very selfish. What else? Anything else comes to mind? Yeah, enemies of God. I mean, I look at it, I think trapped, maybe. Trapped. Helpless and very much so helpless, it seems. Would you use that word, helpless? In bondage. There you go. Yeah, in bondage. In fact, we'll use that word comes up later on in this chapter, describing someone like that. Yeah, bondage. Okay, and so. And then, of course, the contrast in verses 5 through 8 is to the person who lives according to the Spirit. Now, who's the person who lives according to the Spirit? It's the saved person. It's the believer. That's right. Okay? So, he has his mind set on what the Spirit desires and what God desires. The mind is controlled by the Spirit of life and peace. So what do we conclude in all this? It's pretty distinct, isn't it? I mean, would you gather that? It's pretty distinct characteristics, right, of a saved person and a lost person. And that's kind of what I was trying to hit at last week. Is we really seem to muddy the waters there ourselves in our own way of thinking, and sometimes on our own self-theologizing, okay, Paul seems a whole lot more black and white there than we oftentimes talk about things. But anyway, that is what he describes there in verses 5 through 8, these two types of people. Now for some encouragement, okay, for us. Verse 9, let's just read verses 9 through 11. You, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit, if the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. For if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin, yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who lives in you. All right, so what's verse 9 telling us there? Yeah, you, however, and who's he speaking to there? Yeah, he is talking to these people who he sent this letter to, the church there in Rome, and he's assuming them to be believers, okay? And so he says, you, however, And he's not been there, so he's just assuming this and what he knows about them. So you, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit. All right? And he's, of course, says, if the Spirit of God lives in you. All right? Now, what's his assumption that they are not controlled by the Spirit if the Spirit of God lives in them? Well, I'm sorry. It says that there. I'm sorry. If they're not controlled by the sinful nature, then they are controlled by the Spirit. Okay, it's going to be one or the other, right? Because you're either lost or you're saved, and so you're either going. If you're lost, you are controlled by the sinful nature. But if you are saved, you are controlled by the Spirit. And then he gets very specific in that second part there. He says, and if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. All right? So can you be a Christian without the Spirit? No. The Holy Spirit is a requirement to be a Christian. And how come? Based on everything we've been talking about now, how come? Why is the Spirit so crucial to being a Christian? If I heard the gospel, couldn't I believe without the Spirit? How come? Right. And before I become a Christian, what's my state? Rebellion, yeah, but hostile? Yeah. How about controlled? Yeah, we're controlled by by the sinful nature. We are controlled by the sinful nature. What does that say to the depth of our lostness? To a lost person, what does that say to the depth of their lostness? They can't get out. They can't get out. Qualify that a little bit more. They can't get out on their own. Okay, so that's a key question there, is how do they get out? Can they turn to God on their own? With His help. Yeah, there has to be something supernatural. There has to be something supernatural that happens here, doesn't it? That we just can't do this on our own. We're essentially trapped, are we not? And so it seems like the Spirit is that teetering thing. The Spirit is what brings us from one to the other. The Spirit is crucial to this whole thing. Okay, now what does he mean by there? He says that if we're Christians, we're controlled by the Spirit. What does that mean? We're indwelt by the Spirit. But what's it mean to say we're controlled by the Spirit? Do you feel? I was studying the Bible all day today, but to say I was controlled by the Spirit, and that's pretty profound words there. You know, I don't know about you, but I don't always feel controlled by the Spirit. But what does he say there? He says that if we don't have the Spirit of Christ in us, then we're not His, are we? I mean, to be a Christian, you have to have the Spirit of God in you, the Holy Spirit. And if we have the Spirit of God in us, he's saying there that we are controlled by the Spirit, right? Is that how you're seeing that? So what's that mean? Well, you know, there's a lot of truth in that. There is. There's a lot of truth in that. And it's something that is puzzling to us. Here's Paul talking over here in Romans 7 about how he struggles with sin as a believer. And then he comes over here in chapter 8 and he speaks how we're given this spirit, the spirit of life that overcomes sin and death, and says we are controlled by the spirit and we have the mind of the spirit. But again, to me, it's just, those are profound words to say we are controlled by the spirit. All right. And so, but you're exactly right, Brenda. I mean, if we're not being controlled by the spirit, we're being controlled by the sinful nature. Okay. And you know, my point in saying all that is showing how dependent we are on the grace of God. Now, I don't understand why we still struggle with sin the way we do. But he's telling us here that we are controlled by the Spirit, and of course he backs it up later. Passage of scriptures, verses I've oftentimes quoted to you, is Philippians 1:6, where Paul says, "He who began a good work in you is faithful to complete it until the day of Christ Jesus." Or Philippians 2:13, it says, "It is." Let me see how it starts. It is God who is working in us to will and to act according to his good purpose. Philippians 2. Yeah, for it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. So God is working in us to will, to desire, and to act, to do according to his good purpose. So I think that is related to what he is saying there. But I hold on to this with great encouragement, because for one, we are promised that if we have put our faith in Christ, if we have truly put our faith in him, it is by the Spirit that happens, that the Spirit lives in us, and that I am controlled by the Spirit. And so even though I may still be struggling with sin, we all have struggles with our different sins. A major part of my faith is the fact that I have the Spirit in me, and it's the Spirit who is working in me to make me what he would have me to be. And so even when I fail in some way, part of my hope, part of what encourages me and gets me going again is, first I confess my sins. I confess my sins to God. And his scripture, the scripture says that he is faithful and just to forgive me of my sins. But then, on top of that, I have this hope that the Spirit of God is working in me, and he is going to finish what he started in me, and he's going to see me through, and help me to overcome my struggles. So I hope that is an encouragement to you as well as you battle with sin. And first and foremost, I hope you feel like you are battling sin. Okay, I hope that you feel like that you are engaged in a battle with sin, because we still do live in this sinful flesh, and there will be a battle that wages. And if we don't feel like we're in any type of battle, if we don't feel like there's a struggle with sin, it may be because we are totally surrendering to sin. And that could be an alarming condition. Comments or questions on that before we move to verse 10? Okay. No, go ahead. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah, and it's that assurance that we have here that the Spirit of God is living in us and is working in us that gives us, you know, it's the power of the Spirit that is giving us the ability to be happy in the midst of bad circumstances. And on top of that, the fact that we have the Spirit living in us should give us this hopefulness that yes, there is victory. And this is going to end well. Because God has given us His Spirit and is going to make sure it goes well. So yeah, that should be a staple of any Christian, should be joy. Absolutely. Absolutely. Good point. Right. Right. But the key to that is understanding the source of the joy. The source of the joy is not just just trying to be happy. The joy is in the salvation, in our relationship with Christ, and it's out of that joy and that relationship it's in the assurance of that relationship that the joy should flow. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Yeah. Right. Yeah, exactly. Good one. There's going to be sad circumstances that's going to get us down, no doubt. But in the midst of those, even those sad circumstances, we need to be holding on to our faith in Christ with everything we've got. And say that again. It sounded really good. I want to hear what I said. Well, exactly. I mean, and the thing is, even when circumstances are great, it can be taken from us just like that. You know, we really have no other assurance in this life other than Christ. I mean, you know, every time I go and pray with someone who's getting ready to have an operation, and knowing they're getting ready to go under the knife, you know, anything could happen. Someone facing cancer, their lives could be coming near to the end very soon. And how do you hold on in the midst of all that? The only thing that, you know, Shirley was saying today, I don't know how people live without Christ. And that's really all we have when it comes down to it. We lose our lives just like that. All we have is Jesus. And that's why and to have Jesus is to have the gospel. And it's our everything about Christ is based on our relationship with Him through the gospel. That understanding that He has paid for our sins, and through faith in Him we are forgiven, and so that's why I focus so much on the gospel, is because that's where everything. It's not like the gospel. We get the gospel and then we go on and try to live for the Lord. It's every day, everything about our relationship is based around the fact that He has paid for our sins, and even when we fail Him now, we can be assured that He still loves us and cares for us, and that we still have Him because of the gospel. Exactly. The abundant life, the joy we're talking about, is all centered around our continual hope in the gospel, what Christ has done for us, that He has justified us. And because you can have a really rotten day, and you can feel all alone, okay? And then you can say, well, I know God loves me, all right? But how do you know God loves you? Yeah, faith in what Christ did for us. You know, it's going back to what Angela said, that I can have joy in the midst of whatever horrible circumstances or even something horrible I've done when I turn back to Christ and say, in the midst of all the mess I'm in right now, I can turn back to Jesus. If I've done anything wrong, I can confess it, whatever, but I can turn back to Him and have the assurance that God loves me and that He is there for me in the midst of whatever circumstances, because any reason He could be upset with me was taken away through the cross. Does that make sense? I never have to doubt whether God loves me. Well, there's no reason in yourself. There is nothing that said to God, I should love Judy. Exactly. Perfect. Brenda said, he sees, when he looks at Judy, through faith in Christ, when he looks at Judy, he sees the righteousness of Christ. And she is fully accepted. That is the source of the joy, of our joy, period. Okay, we say the joy of our salvation, but the source of joy is living daily on faith in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's all very, very, very true, Sarah. Every bit of that we should be thankful for. The only thing I would say to what you just said, I would add to it, Jesus. The fact that, what you should be thankful about when you wake up tomorrow morning in the midst of your loneliness, in the midst of your troubles, is that God loves me. That, we haven't gotten to it yet, but, you go to the verse 17, or even before that, verse 16. The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. Think about that. He has adopted us as His children. Through the cross, through through what Christ did for us. We've been adopted as His, and He loves it. He loved me enough to die for me. And He has adopted me as His child. And before long we get to Romans 8:28, it says, and we know that God works for the good of those who love Him. He works all things for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. And so what I would do is then stop and think, you know what? I don't know why I'm alone right now. But I know this, as odd as this sounds, even my loneliness could be something God is working in me for my good. He's got a purpose behind it. Yeah. 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 Yeah, I mean, He works all things. I mean, you go on further down when He says, verse 31, what then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also, along with Him, graciously give us all things? Yeah. Amen. Amen. I would just say to all of us, what Paul said, go to Philippians. God has His purposes in the night, and we'll just trust Him with that. Philippians 3. Verse 7. But whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish, that I may gain Christ. Okay? And so Paul has considered everything loss, everything rubbish, everything else meaningless other than knowing Christ. And so, In whatever despair, whatever struggles you've got, take those despairs and run to the cross. Run to the Scriptures and His promises and seek to know Christ more. What you're going through could be an opportunity God's presenting you to have your pain satisfied comforted through the promise, through drawing closer to Christ, and then from that, as we are being ministered to by the promises of God through the gospel, through Christ, then we need to stop and think, who else needs what I'm receiving here? Who else do I know who needs to hear these beautiful promises? And then pour all your energy into making Him known to whoever comes to your mind. I mean, that's everything about this life is supposed to, I mean, you know, one day we're all going to stand before Jesus. You know, Matthew talks about how He's going to come as the judge. And He's going to separate the sheep from the goats, you know. Everybody's going to stand one day before Jesus. So if we're all going to stand before Him at the end of this life, it pretty much means that everything about this life is supposed to be about Jesus, right? Wouldn't you say? And so, no matter what circumstances you're going through, good or bad, just pour yourself into knowing Christ more. And then as He ministers to you and your needs, you know, pray and ask Him to reveal those around you And I mean, and again, the life of Paul was so exemplary of a life that just lived its last breath to make Christ known. I mean, I always go back, especially when I'm thinking of our seniors in our church, and shut-ins, and I think about Paul and his circumstances in 2 Timothy. In 2 Timothy, Paul was in a dungeon. Okay? Paul was in a dungeon by himself in 2 Timothy, all alone. And he can't go out preaching. He's in this dungeon. And I think about like a shut-in. And a shut-in is in their home. They're trapped and they can't go anywhere. But what did Paul do in the midst of those circumstances? Again, everything about him was Christ. And so he ends up writing a letter to Timothy that becomes 2 Timothy and becomes part of Scripture. The other thing he tells Timothy is that he prays with tears for Timothy, you know, day and night. And so there's just still so many things, you know, we can do for Christ, no matter what our circumstances are. And we can pray. We can get on our... Or just get on, you know, today's communication. Get on that phone. Run that phone bill up. Okay? All right? Calling and encouraging one another. And as Paul says, speaking hymns and spiritual songs to one another. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. Well, he says in Philippians 4, he says, verse 8, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. So, anyway, any other comments? Sarah, I hope that ministered to you. And you're right, and you know we should be calling, you know, those who can't get out and ministering to them. I just go back and say, the gospel says, if no one else ever tells you again that you matter, the gospel, Jesus says you matter, and the key for the Christian is through that promise, those promises, through that truth, that be the source of our strength, the source of our joy, and we turn around and we reach out to other people, you know, and we minister to others. But that's one of the ultimate evidences of a Christian. It's like, you know, we were talking going back there earlier about the joy in the midst of horrible circumstances. We can still have joy in the midst of loneliness. We can end up ministering to other people who are lonely. You know, How can that happen? Because we're finding our source of strength, our source of life, our source of peace, our source of joy, not from our circumstances, but from Christ, who crosses whatever circumstances, you know, and can reach into whatever we're in and give us joy and give us that completeness, give us that peace, that wholeness, and then gives us all the power and strength to turn around and minister to other people. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And my hope here is as I continue to teach you God's Word and feed you on the Word and feed you on the Gospel and on Jesus, that the truths and the promises there just totally saturate everything about who you are, your total being. And so that in the midst of whatever circumstances you face, now or 10 years down the road, that they'll just be an amazing grace and power on you. That the world does say, you know, what's up with them? They should be miserable. They should be feeling horrible. And they turn around and minister to me and bless me. And I mean, what's going on here? And again, it can't come from positive thinking. It comes from truth that God loves me, and He has totally proven it in Jesus Christ. It is that Jesus has totally taken away my sin, and I by faith in Jesus, I have been totally accepted by God, and He loves me. He enjoys me, just like He said to His Son when Jesus was baptized. This is my Son, in whom I am well pleased. And now, through faith in Jesus, through by His grace, I've got credit for that righteousness and all that stuff that made the Father so happy with the Son. I've got that. It's my possession. And so He feels that way about me. And He feels that way about all of us. Keep the gospel in the forefront of your mind. That is your source of everything. The gospel, Jesus, what He's done for you. All right. And we'll wrap up there, and we'll get back to Romans. We'll hit Romans 10 when we get back. But good stuff, good stuff. Appreciate the comments tonight. Verse 10. No. Verse 10. Good stuff. Let's pray.